Well, good morning and welcome to all, particularly our guests who join us today on this second Sunday of the Advent season as we now light the second candle upon the wreath as we come together to offer the Sunday Mass. Unfortunately, I have to begin with some sad news. One of our longtime parishioners, Rosemary Glass, died unexpectedly, I believe on Friday. She was one of our parish volunteers who come in and help answer the phone on Tuesdays. She went in to have a pacemaker procedure, and apparently that was successful, but while in the recovery room, suffered a stroke, and then passed away very quickly. So her funeral arrangements are pending. We'll be here at the Madeleine sometime later this week. Also, our condolences go out to Linda Schoonover for the death of her mother, Helen, yesterday. Up in the Miami area, and her funeral arrangements will be taking place at the parish in Welch. So we pray for these two who have died in these last days, and let us also remember in our prayers those who have died by violence, particularly those who were killed in the shooting in Santa Barbara a few days ago, for their families, also for the gift of consolation and peace. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May their souls and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. Please, as part of the announcements before the Mass, please remember that the Tuesday is a holy day of obligation of the Immaculate Conception. Our Mass schedule is in the bulletin, also in the doors of the church. And also, we begin that day the Year of Mercy, an extraordinary year of Jubilee. And what that means, I have an insert in the bulletin. You're welcome to see that, and also information on our parish website. Please know that throughout the time of Advent, I'll be available to hear confessions on Tuesday evenings from 6 to 7, Wednesday evenings from 5 to 6, and also our Advent dinner taking place on Wednesday evenings as well. My thanks for this last week. I visited Thomas Jefferson Elementary School and for the warm welcome I received there. And I'll be visiting Monticino School on Thursday to have lunch with some of our younger parishioners who are students there, as well as those who are on the faculty. Our congratulations today go out to Joe Fritsch, one of our parishioners. He is preparing for the permanent diaconate, and he and his classmates this coming Friday at Vespers at 6:30 at the cathedral will be receiving the ministry of lector. And also to let you know, particularly for our children and youth in our Sunday morning religious education programs, we have a special visitor today. His Eminence, the Bishop of Myra, is going to visit, also known as St. Nicholas. So be prepared. The bishop is with us here this evening. Not Bishop Slattery, but St. Bishop Nicholas. And also please know that at the end of all of our Masses next weekend, we'll be offering the sacrament of the sick, the anointing of the sick, this sacrament of God's healing and mercy. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. As many of you know, those would be the first words on the screen of the next Star Wars movie, The Force Awakens, which premieres this coming Friday, December the 18th. And no, I do not plan to be first in line for the midnight showing. No doubt there are many others who will be. And you know who you are. Now, don't worry. I'll see the movie, but not at midnight. That's way past my bedtime. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, almost a perfect beginning for a mythic story. And that's how the stories of legends and fables and fairy tales and bedtime stories usually begin, the kind of a lead-off along the lines of, once upon a time, there lived, and the story begins. Myth and legends, they have their place. Using stories to explain and explore the highs and lows of the human condition, the themes of heroes and villains, virtue and vice, the struggle between good and evil, they run through these stories, whether it's Greek mythology or the Star Wars movies. And these great themes, which inhabit these stories have a timeless, universal nature to them, because their stories are set in that vague, timeless space known as once upon a time, or in a galaxy far, far away. Contrast that to what we've just heard from the Gospel of Luke. We're told in specific terms about the when and the where the action is taking place. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, who was the emperor in Rome, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, when Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and goes on to say, and during the reign of the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas. In other words, around the year 30 AD. And AD, by the way, is Latin for Anno Domini. It doesn't mean after death. Anno Domini meaning since the birth of Jesus. A little bit of Catholic trivia there for you, just in case. The listing of these great figures of that time of the political and religious circles in a specific historical time in an actual location, that's not the stuff of once upon a time. The appearance of the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, is not the stuff of myth and legend. It takes place within human history. And when it does take place, the one who comes to prepare the way for it is not among those movers and shakers that are listed. Instead, it comes by the way of a homeless prophet in the desert, John the Baptist, who is a cousin of Jesus. John, this great Advent figure, this great Advent saint. On this second Sunday of Advent, as we now light two candles on the Advent wreath, we do so not out of mere custom or tradition, but in certainty and in hope. It is a certainty that the Christian proclamation is not some pious legend. When the Word of God becomes one of us in all things but sin, what we call the incarnation, meaning that God becomes human while still remaining to be God, it takes place in real time, in a real place, with real people. In another sense, it takes place precisely where we live our lives as disciples, as the church, not in myth or legend or fairy tales, but in the real world. Advent is a word that means to come or to arrive. And it's not just a countdown to Christmas Day. Whenever the purple vestments are worn, it is a sign through the church's liturgy for us to ponder and to pray with those ultimate questions about life and faith. Are we preparing to welcome Jesus when he comes again? For we profess to believe that this is going to happen. We profess it in the creed that we will all proclaim together shortly, and we don't do that either out of mere custom or tradition. Is life and faith that we are living, seeking to live, is that being formed by and conformed to the truth of the gospel message or by something else or someone else? What part of life is waiting to be transformed by the experience of God's mercy, who is Jesus? Remember, all the political and cultural powers in the time of John the Baptist and of Jesus that wielded so much influence and authority eventually crumbled and turned to dust. The same fate awaits the political and cultural powers of our own time. Only our relationship with God through Jesus will remain, the kingdom of God. And there is our certainty. And there is also our hope. For the real world can also be a violent one. Another week. Another mass shooting. Words thou that have entered our lexicon. And this time done in the name of religion by Islamic extremists in San Bernardino, California. And into this real world, let us remember the recent words of Pope Francis that violence done in the name of God is a blasphemy meaning an offense against God. This real world can also be a hateful one. If mass shootings, whatever the cause, have become the new normal, so it appears to be also the response by far too many on the political right and the political left in our country, that their response increasingly is not solidarity with one another or solidarity with those affected by the violence, but rather, and forgive the crudeness of my words, the response seems to be now to vomit forth their mutual hatred for each other. And this too is becoming the new normal. We live in the real world with real violence, with real hatred. Those listed today in Luke's gospel, they will appear later on in the narrative. Herod will have John the Baptist executed. And he, along with Pilate and Caiaphas, conspired to have Jesus arrested and crucified. And that too is no myth or legend. Into this real world comes a real Jesus. And with him comes real mercy. Mercy is when God reaches out and touches us to transform our pain, our fear, our anger, our hatred, our sin. We are to be transformed by this mercy, this forgiveness, this gift of faith. That is why the Son of God becomes one of us. And there is the cause of our hope. That, as St. Paul tells us, that the good work begun in us will continue to completion when Jesus comes again in power and glory. This real mercy of God reaches out to us in the midst of the world's violence and hatred. And it can do so through those men and women living among us who, like John the Baptist, live authentic lives of faith and of hope. Their voices cry out to us to prepare the way of the Lord. That outward piety and religious observance must be integrated into an inner life of integrity and of righteousness. So today, we continue to light the candles with certainty, hope, and faith. We do so in the midst of darkness, of violence, and of hatred. We continue to prepare the way of the Lord as the Advent season calls us to awake from indifference, to awake from complacency in living out our Catholic faith, to continue the transformation begun in us on the day of our baptism. We are to open our hearts to be touched and transformed by Jesus, who, as Pope Francis puts it, is the human face of the Father's mercy. To be transformed this Advent season through the sacraments, particularly reconciliation, making a good confession, and in the Eucharist. May this mercy touch and transform us into men, women, and children living authentic lives of faith and of hope. To become a John the Baptist. That through us, others will be touched by mercy. These are not the things of myth or legend or make-believe, but of a real living faith in a real Jesus. A real Jesus who comes to us today in word and in sacrament as we look forward to his coming again in hope and in glory.